Adam sinned in the garden. Sin entered creation, and thereby death came and ruined everything. God already had a plan, okay? He's not just, okay, now what do? I wasn't expecting him to do that. If you ever have the thought that God wasn't expecting you to do that, then you're not talking about God, okay? It's as simple as that. He knows the end from the beginning. I'm not saying he makes you do things at all, okay? And one of the things I'll touch upon is that. But I am saying that God is not taken by surprise by us, okay? And his provision is perfect. It really is. And the biggest provision that he has made for us, or the root, the source of every provision, is that he's given us Jesus, okay? Again, I'll remind you, you know, sometimes that passage, John chapter 3, verse 16, is so familiar that people just, you know, treat it as a, what's the word? Something that they already know about. Oh, yeah, yeah, there's nothing much there. It is at the depth of every other thing that we could talk about. God gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life, right? So now that we live in a point in time in history where Jesus has come, he did die, he was raised up as evidence that what God set in motion completely worked. The plan that God has completely worked. And now we are waiting for him to come back, and he's going to finish everything else that he promised. He's made promises to the kingdom, to the people of Israel. He's made promises to us who have believed in him. He's made promises to the world, okay, that he's coming to judge. God cares about every wicked thing that anybody does. He doesn't ignore it, even if it sometimes looks like people get away with things. In the end, they don't. We tend to think in terms of just our lifespan. We tend to think that our life really is about here and now, what I can eat, what I can drink, experiences that I have here. But in reality, we are creatures that will live forever. We are eternal. The question is, where will we live forever? Right? And so there are times when God deals with people and it looks like they get away, but they never get away with the wickedness that they deal with. We never get away with the wickedness that we deal with. Because every person has sinned, there is just no way out from the wrath of God that is to come, except God made the way, Jesus. Okay? You know, I was trying to think of how to get across this idea. You know, before I keep talking, let me just read those two passages of scriptures and keep me on track. I'm very eager to be done on time today. I apologize for us starting late. I was half thinking to say, we're going to change our church time to start at 15 minutes earlier, and then maybe we'll start at the original time. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 9, okay, I understand that there's a therefore there, and I'm going to leave it to you to go and find out why the therefore is there. It's obviously leading to a conclusion. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Okay? Revelation chapter 20. Verse 4, then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead or on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Then I'm going to jump ahead to verse 11, which is where I should have started. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence the earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Not exactly the most cheery passage to talk about, but it is reality. Okay, I come back to what I said. God does not dismiss and treat as insignificant all the wrong that has been done from the beginning of the world to the end. The only problem is because every single person is infected with the thing that causes people to do wrong, every single person should be destroyed. Okay? There's a tendency for us to think in terms of what's fair and what's not fair. Okay? So there are people that we know that are pretty nice, okay? And they're kind and they're good and they're well-meaning and they try their best. And maybe you know people who are just outright nasty. Just outright nasty, okay? And the tendency is to think, well, good things should happen to the good person, but good things should not happen to the nasty person. And where it gets frustrating is sometimes that's not what happens. Good things happen to the nasty person, and bad things happen to the good person. The problem is our ability to judge whether a person is good or bad is so flawed that we just don't understand that every human being is thoroughly ruined. Thoroughly ruined. The right thing that God should do for the nicest person you know and the worst person you know is that they be destroyed in this second death that we read about. Okay? That is what should happen. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about that in the sense of, how should I put it? To keep my words short, my point is that God judges and evaluates at a far more holy level than we do. Okay? What's the big deal? You're making a little white lie about this, you know, how much money you made on your taxes. What's the big deal, really? Does it matter? But to God, the littlest sin is enough to destroy the whole thing. Okay? Because his standard is not, close enough. It is yes or no. So the right thing that should happen is that everyone stands before this one who is going to sit on a great white throne, and books would be opened, and we see all that we've done wrong. I don't know about you, my memory of my life is rather edited. Okay? I tend to remember terrible things that I've done, I tend to remember good things I've done, but I don't remember everything, by no means, but God does. Every single thing I have done, every careless word, every inconsiderate place, where nobody else might have seen anything wrong, but God sees the heart. It matters to God, and I would have to stand before him. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. What was that talking about? What did Jesus come to do? He did not come to give a better religion. Meaning, you know, the old set of rules, they were pretty tough. But now, I just want you to know, God just loves you. There is no problem. He just is love, 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 love now. He's changed his mind. He's now love. It doesn't matter what you do. That is not true. Jesus did not come to create better rules for us to follow and fail. He did not. He came because the only price that had to be, the only price that could be paid was someone had to die. For your sins and my sins. And by die, I mean be destroyed. But whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Okay? Now, just to try and paint this picture, supposing I was fantastically wealthy, okay? Fabulously wealthy. Like, beyond imagination, I got money. And I say, you know what? Everybody, I'm going to take you to Hawaii. Okay, everybody. I take an ad out in Calgary and say, anybody want to go to Hawaii? I'm taking you there. All you got to do is show up at the airport at such and such a time. Okay? So at such and such a time, there's people there, right? And they get on the plane, true to my word, they go off to Hawaii. If you did not go to Hawaii, what would be the reason? You didn't show up. It wasn't because you're an Oilers fan. Nope. It wasn't because you're wearing the wrong clothes. It wasn't because I see you're a nasty person. It was, here's the condition, and you chose not to come. Now, that's a pretty silly example. As nice as Hawaii apparently is, because I've never been, it's here and then it's gone. But what we're talking about is eternal. This is the thing. The right thing to do to humanity was that they be destroyed in the second death. That's how thoroughly ruined we were. But God so loved. He gave Jesus to take our place. And now, the only condition is what? Do you show up or not? Do you take his hand that is extended to you or not? Right? It does not have to do with you've lived a pretty good life. Because the problem is not whether you've lived a good life. The issue is, did you live a good enough life? And the answer is always going to be no. Yeah, I mean, to me, 99% is not bad, but it's not 100. And that's what God requires, right? So the issue that everybody is facing is there is a judgment coming. There is a judgment coming. You will not escape. You may die, but you will not escape that judgment. We all are going to die, okay? Unless Jesus comes first, but I'll get to that. The point is, we all die, but that is not the end. The end is when we are judged. So how do we deal with that? Well, this is what God gave Jesus for, that we could escape that. Not only that we could escape judgment, but then be reconnected to what we were actually made for, which is an intimate friendship with God that makes life fullness possible. Yes? Yes, escaping judgment matters. But it's not like, okay, now you escaped and try your best now on. It is, I have always wanted you to live under my shadow. And the way, what was keeping you was your sin, the reason why you should be punished. That was what was keeping you out from it. But now I've dealt with that. Do you want to live under my shadow? And one of the things that we have to come to grips with, whether we are Christians or otherwise, this reality remains. In his astonishing wisdom, God lets you make the choice. He lets you make the choice. It is not the case that now that Jesus has given his son, everybody's in. He says, what will you do? What will you do? Now, we read about two judgments here. Okay. Now, as I mentioned to you last time, because we talked about this last time, we talked about dying last time, we talked about what the church actually is. And I don't just mean our church. What I mean by church in this context is those who have believed that Jesus died for them. You know, there are people who think, that's great for you. Okay, I'm glad that you've got something that helps you, but I don't need that. Okay, there are people who genuinely think about Jesus as just another option amongst many. But he is the only one who could pay for the problem. Right? He is the absolute only one who can deliver you from the problem at hand, and that is, you stand convicted before God, and you will be destroyed. Unless. He's the only one. There are people who think, it's okay, it's good enough for you. You still won't escape judgment, right? But those who have put their trust, they believe, hey, Jesus died. Why did he die? It wasn't because Jews killed him. You know, there's this idea that they're nitwits. I don't know what the right word to describe them is. They think poorly of Jewish people because they say they killed Jesus. You want to know who killed Jesus? I did. You did. They just happened to be on the scene. But the reason why Jesus died was this was the Lamb of God who had to be slain for sin to be completely dealt with. And the only way to escape is now put your trust in him. Whose sin did he die for? Mine. And he leaves the choice in your hands. What are you going to do about this, Jesus? What are you going to do about it? He is the answer to every problem you have. But it's up to you. I won't make you. Why doesn't he force us? You know, there are times when, like, my kids do stupid things. Well, they don't do stupid things. Yes, they do. They do things that I think, well, I will say this. I often find out the reason why they do stupid things is I set a bad example, and they were just copying me. So to be fair to them. But nevertheless, I think, why are they doing this? I know what I'll do. I'll just make them do the right thing. Well, that all sounds fine and dandy, but it doesn't sustain. They don't change. They don't learn. They don't find out what God is like if they just make him do it. You have to be won over. You know, there's parallels between Jesus wooing you and a man or a woman wooing their prospective partner. The last thing you want is somebody marrying you against your choice. That's the last thing you want. There are bad things. There are things that are worse than not getting married. And one of those things is getting married to somebody who doesn't want to be married to you. Right? So God leaves this in your hands and says, what are you going to do about it? But if you say yes to him, then something dramatic and incredible to the natural mind happens. You are taken from being what you were, and you are joined to Jesus forevermore. And that is what we mean by the church. Those who have been joined to Jesus because they put their trust in him. They confess to him, you died because of me and what I did wrong. And I receive what you did for me, which is you shed your blood to pay my price. I receive you. Okay? That is a thing that you have to do with at least your mouth. The specific words aren't as important as you make a deliberate response. Okay? The moment that happens, you become something that hasn't been before. You are a creature that is now joined to God, and he covers you. One of the songs we sometimes sing is, I am covered over with a robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. Okay, the moment when he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be. He sees Jesus. So the picture, one of the pictures that God paints is he takes you, and you know, if you remember Noah's Ark, Noah was stuck inside the ark, God sealed the door, and judgment fell. But Noah was safe because judgment fell on the ark. The rain fell on the ark, not on Noah. Likewise, Jesus is the ark. All who believe in him, they take, it's like God, the Holy Spirit, takes him and hides him in the ark called Jesus. And the judgment is coming, but it's going to fall on the ark. Or it fell on the ark, on Jesus, not us. And that opens the door for a different kind of life, where day by day you are invited by God, let me help you. Okay? He still won't force himself on you, but he says, let me help you. And you bit by bit learn to walk with him. Okay? Well, the people, we read two judgments. The first thing I want to say is that first passage we read about we must all stand before the judgment seat of God was directed to a group of people who will never face the second death that Jesus faced for them. The judgment that they faced, the judgment that the church faces, has got to do with, so what did you do with this precious gift that I gave you? Did you still continue to live for yourself? Or did you begin to understand something about me that changed how you live? Okay? It's got to do with reward, not pass the test or not. He's not going to look for a book that has your deeds and all the things you did wrong. It's like that side was covered with red blood. And what's left is, what did you do right? But then those who don't respond to the offer, there's only one outcome awaiting them. That is the second death that we talked about in Revelation. Okay, so those two passages, even though they were talking about judgment, they are talking in different contexts to different people. And that judgment is final. That judgment, it will be a comparison of what did you do right and what did you do wrong. And guaranteed, the list of the wrongs will be bigger than the list of the rights. Let me put it this way. If there is 100,000 good things you did and one bad thing, you've already failed. Because God's standard is perfection. Right? And they will not escape the judgment of God. Why? Why is God being so mean? Why is God being so nasty? Doesn't he love people? He does love. Somebody put it this way. Hell was not made for people. They just end up there because they don't take the way out. God made the way for escape. He didn't plan in the sense of, I don't like you, I'm going to destroy you. There are ways that God operates that are, in one sense, once God says, this is how it is, he doesn't fudge the rules. This is how it is. This is how it is. And what he does, though, is he makes a way to escape what has to come. And that's the time that we live in. So what I wanted to end this little consideration of judgment, there's something I haven't talked about. My clock disappeared. There are actually three judgments described in the Testament, in the Newer Testament. One is the judgment of those who have put their trust in Jesus, and it has to do with rewards for being faithful. Okay, it has nothing to do with punishment. You've passed out of punishment, out of judgment, into life the moment you believe Jesus. Okay, so God will never again consider punishing you, in the sense of, I don't like you anymore. That phase is over. There is the judgment that we talked about, the second judgment, that every human being who has not escaped that judgment because they believe in Jesus will face. There is a third judgment that I haven't talked about that has to do with finishing the promises that God made to the people of Israel. We touched upon it in the passage we read. There are promises made about a literal physical kingdom on the earth, that Jesus will reign on the earth and there will be peace. There will be peace unlike any time in the entire history except at the garden. Okay? There will be peace. Who gets to be in that is the third judgment that we haven't really talked about. But we've escaped even that, those who have put our trust in Jesus. We are now forever his. So what do you think is the most important thing that happens in this time? What is more important than, did you study hard? Did you have a good job? What is more important than, are you a nice person? This is the only period of time that you can escape the entire horrible things that are about to happen by putting your trust in Jesus. This time now. And so this is why Paul, in that passage that we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he makes a big deal about, so we are ambassadors. We are begging you on behalf of Jesus, be reconciled to God. He made him, I'm quoting from the very end of that chapter. He made him who was not sin to be sin. Why? So that you could escape. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? We get caught up in our everyday problems, not realizing the everyday problems are no match for the grace of God. They really aren't. Now, I'm not saying become a believer and then bing, everything just goes smooth sailing. Anybody who tells you that is lying. They're trying to manipulate you into agreeing to believe in Jesus by promising you things that they have no right to promise. Jesus said things like this, in this world, you who have believed in me, you will have trouble. Okay? So if you're in trouble, take courage. You're where Jesus said you would be. You had one extra thing to that, makes all the difference, but take courage. I have overcome the world. In other words, nothing that happens to you down here is a match for what I can give you to help you with it. And we learn to walk with him in it, okay? But what I want you to get across, or what I want to get across to you in this message, which I'm now going to end in 2 seconds a minute, is A, don't mess around. This is the time to be redeemed. What comes after this, there is still things that God will unfold, but nothing like what grace we have available to us now. Nothing like what grace we have available to us now. I told you before, God is not asking you to get your act together and then be a good Christian. God will help you get your act together. What he's asking you right now is, will you take my hand? I have my hand extended to you in Jesus, metaphorically. Will you take it? Number one. Number two, will you tell other people what's available to them? Because God in his wisdom has chosen to use people to help other people. think I told you this. You know, sometimes you look at all the evil that's going on in the world. There's a song that Matthew West sings about exactly that. He says, I'm looking at all this trouble and I shake my fist at heaven and say, why don't you do something? You know, people don't want to believe in God because why does God allow evil in the world? And all these kinds of things that sound important, and I shouldn't be too dismissive. There are things worth thinking about. There are things worth figuring out. Well, why does God allow evil in the world? Okay? But that song encapsulated it practically brilliantly. He says, God says to him, he said, why aren't you doing something? And the person who's saying that, God talks to and says, I did do something. I made you. Highlighting the fact that we've been given assignments. God wants people to escape what is coming. Leave aside, okay, what about people who don't hear? Okay, we'll let God deal with the justice of that, okay? The one thing you can be assured of is that God is kind and gracious and merciful beyond measure, right? Norman, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but he mentioned, you know, he's reading in the Old Testament and there's all these swords and blood and all that kind of stuff. Without denying it, the history of those who belong to God includes wrathful things that they have experienced. But if you really want to know what Jesus is, what God is like, you look at Jesus. Okay? I don't mean that God has changed. What I'm saying is our perception of what happened before with all the swords and the killings and all that kind of stuff is flawed because we don't see what God is like through Jesus. Okay? He is, according to the writer of Hebrews, the exact representation of the nature of God. If you want to know what he's like, look at him. In other words, interpret all of the Old Testament things through the lens of what have I seen about God through Jesus? Okay? So, did Jesus make anybody sick? No. Did Jesus chop anybody's head off because they were not obedient? No. What did he do? To those who could never deserve it, he offered life. He healed the sick. He reached out to people who could not deserve it. I mean, of course he got angry at people who were trying to represent God or misrepresent God, but even then he got angry because that was the only way to reach them. This is the time that we live in where God, through Jesus, is extending his hand. We need to take it ourselves, of course, but we need to tell other people, hey, I don't care what you're going through. God wants to help you. Well, how can you say that? If God wants to help me, why am I going through the stuff? Well, why you're going through the way of stuff is maybe a little bit beyond my pay grade, but I'll suggest it's probably got to do with something you chose, you know, choices you made. But what I can tell you is that God still wants to help you. It starts, though, with you taking his hand. It starts with you taking his hand. God wants every human being you know to have some measure of good to the extent that they're willing to say yes to. Every person, God only has good for them. They have to make choices, though. And if the only choice they can make is to be friends with you, well, then God wants you to be good to them. He wants them to experience good. But what he really wants is that they escape. Okay? That's our assignment. Okay? You can't make anybody do anything, but you can tell them. You can start by receiving yourself, and then you can tell them. And may the Lord in this coming year stir us up to the urgency of the matter, to the urgency of it. Time is short. I don't know how God will deal with those who don't say yes yet. Many things about it I don't understand, but I do know. Right now, there's a ticket to Hawaii available. Right now, I don't know how long that ticket is, what happens to the people who didn't go to Hawaii, whether they're going to freeze in this winter cold or what. But this I know, right now, there's a ticket to Hawaii on offer. Take it. And it's far better than Hawaii, let me tell you. Okay? Because God will be closer than a friend to you. Okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, win us over. And we just give thanks to you for this extraordinary grace that has come to us, that you so loved us, that Jesus was willing to die for us. And I ask you to help every person, from the ones who have not yet said yes to the ones who have said yes to you. help us each take another step closer to you. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay.